Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of The Awesome with Cody. As usual, I'm your host, Cody, and today we are continuing October's theme of awesome fantasy sci-fi movies, or whatever the hell I called it this month, whatever, I've changed it like every week. Anyhow, today we are talking about Oblivion from 2013. It is a post-apocalyptic adventure film, or I like to say fantasy sci-fi film. It was created by Joseph Kosinski. He's the director, he's the co-producer, he's the original creator of it. He just didn't write the screenplay, it was done by some other people, but we'll just go over who made it. So Joseph Krasinski, he's made a few things. He has three movies under his belt. His fourth movie comes out next year. So his very first movie was Tron Legacy in 2010. He did the follow up to that, but his next movie was Oblivion. In 2013, 2017, he did a movie called Only the Brave, and then next year he'll have Top Gun Maverick, which is a sequel to Top Gun. He got his start doing a couple things. So, he got his start in the industry doing CG stuff. He did a couple commercials. He did one for Halo 3 and he did one for Gears of War. Gears of War 1 is probably his most well known because it's the award-winning commercial called Mad World that was done for the very first Gears of War game, and it features the rendition of Mad World by Tears for Fears. Not the song, the original song's Tears for Fears, but the version they use, and that's Gary something or other. Can't remember his name right now. But and then the Halo 3 one called Starry Night, that he did for that as well. And then he got the opportunity to do Tron Legacy, and went on from there. So his career is not very long, but he's got a lot of things that he's attached to that really haven't happened yet. But Logan's Run, The Black Hole, a movie called Archangels, which I don't think we'll ever see the light of day either. Did he work on Twilight Zone? Or was going to work on Twilight Zone? I can't remember. And then, I think that's really it. But yeah, so his next project, which we've all seen not all, but there's a trailer out for Top Gun Maverick that comes out next July, I believe, that you can watch online. And I guess I can post the video, the trailer for it. That's Joseph Kosinski. So I should tell you, so this is based on a potential graphic novel he was going to make that was going to come out in 2012, but it never actually came out, and it was just done solely for the movie. There was a preview version of it you could get that had concept art in it, and they kind of got a brief description of the movie or the plot of the story. So you'll see it's based on a graphic novel by him, but that graphic novel actually never came out, so there's that. The movie features a handful of actors. Two most prominent, and then one that's third, and then a couple others, but they are Tom Cruise. I'm going to butcher this person's last name, but Olga, I think it's Kurylenko, Morgan Freeman, Andrea Rosenbauer, Nicola Coster-Waterloo, I believe. It's from Game of Thrones. I'll go over in a minute. You have Melissa Leo, and you have Zoe Bell. So, Tom Cruise. It's Tom Cruise. I mean, I don't know what to tell you other than it's Tom Cruise. He's done all the Mission Impossible movies. Eyes Wide Shut, Top Gun, it's Jerry Maguire, Minority Report, Vanilla Sky, The Last Samurai, Collateral, one of my favorites, Edge of Tomorrow, So yeah, that's Tom Cruise. You guys know who Tom Cruise is. Olga Kurylenko, I believe that's how you say it. It's probably butchering it. Has also done a handful of movies, and TV shows. Most notably, I would say, well, she was in Centurion, which I actually liked a lot. That's what I was thinking of. Quantum of Solace. She was the female lead in that, in Quantum of Solace, the James Bond movie. I believe everybody's least favorite Daniel Craig James Bond movie, if I'm not mistaken. She was the female that had the big old scar on her back, I believe. Yeah, so that's who she is. But she's been in a lot of cool things besides Oblivion. She was in a TV show called Magic City, which is really good, a good show that was on Stars, I believe. Let me look it up real quick. I believe it's Stars. Was it Stars? Does it say on here? Oh, yeah, Stars. It had Jeffrey Dean Morgan in it. It was a really, really good show. She was in Seven Psychopaths, fantastic movie as well. Like I said, Centurion. A couple other things too. Oh, she was also in Death of Stalin. Interesting. But yeah, so that's Olga Kurylenko. Morgan Freeman. I mean, it's Morgan Freeman, for Christ's sake. Highlight stuff. Glory, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. I almost said Men in Tights. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, Seven, Deep Impact, Sum of All Fears, Bruce Almighty, which is a funny one to put on there, but he played God. Dark Knight Trilogy, so Dark Knight, or Batman Begins, Dark Knight, and Dark Knight Returns. He was in the first Red movie. He voiced the character in Lego Movie. He's really well known for The Shawshank Redemption. Yeah, I mean, Million Dollar Baby, so many things. Morgan Freeman. That Penguin movie, the one he does the voice for. That's who that is. Andrea Risenbauer, who's a person you may not know very well. British actress, I believe. English actress. Biggest thing she's been in, well, she was in Mandy with Nicolas Cage. She played Mandy. Nocturnal Animals, she was amazing in that. Well, that movie is amazing in general. She's in that. She was in Birdman, won a bunch of awards or something. I think won a bunch of awards, right? Yeah. Like a bunch of awards for that movie. Yeah, yeah. She was in what's another big one she was in too? I don't remember what it is now. Nocturnal Animals and Birdman were the two biggest ones that I saw. Oh, she was also in Death of Stalin. Boom, boom, boom. But she's in the remake or reboot or whatever you want to call it, The Grudge, just called Grudge. She was in The Kindness of Strangers. That was out this year. I didn't realize that. Okay, cool. But yeah, so that's Andrea Risenbauer. We got Nicola Coster-Waldau, I believe, or Wadlow. I'm not too sure how to say it. So he played Jamie Lannister in Game of Thrones, amongst other things. But that's the biggest. I mean, that's who you're known as, is Jamie Lannister. Let's see. He was in something I watched more recently. What was it? Well, he was in Gods of Egypt, that terrible fucking movie. I haven't seen it, but he was in Domino, the Brian De Palma movie that came out this year. Or is coming out this year, I'm not too sure. I think it's in festivals or some nonsense. Something else I saw him in. No, I don't remember what it was. Oh, he's going to be Macbeth and Macbeth in 2020 in the theater, huh? That's pretty cool. Anyhow, it's Jamie Lannister. Oh, he's in Black Hawk Down. I forgot about that. Small role in that. King of Heaven, he was in that. Very small role in that one. I could have swore I saw him in something that I just recently watched that's not newer. Oh, the Netflix show. Or Netflix movie. That's right. Small Crimes. That's what it was. I knew I watched something with him recently. Came out 2 years ago. I was like, I know I just saw this dude in something. I just watched that not too long ago. So, pretty fun movie, actually. You have another smaller character, Melissa Leo, who has done a lot of stuff, and she's been in so many things. That, I mean, it's hard to even break down. She was in Olympus Has Fallen and London Has Fallen. She was in The Equalizer 2. I think she was in Equalizer 1, right? Yeah. Okay, yeah. She plays his friend that gets, spoiler alert, gets murdered in the second movie. By the way, the second movie is really fun, but if you've ever watched the trailer for The Equalizer 2, you know exactly what's happening in that movie. The big twist in it, not a big twist if you've seen the trailer. Terrible way of doing it. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. Oh, she was in Snowden, too. I didn't know that. Television-wise, it's been a lot of things. She's been in so many things. Oh, yeah, she was in Wayward Pines. Book. Fucking weird, by the way. Real fucking weird movie or book. I've never actually watched the show. But yeah, that's Melissa Leo. And the last one, who, it's weird that she gets billed in this movie because she doesn't have a single line in the entire thing, is Zoe Bell. Zoe Bell is a stunt woman as well as actress, but she's most notably the stunt actress for Lucy Lawless in Xena, the bride played by Uma Thurman in Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2. She was in the Grindhouse movie. She was in she was in both parts, actually. She was in Death Proof and Planet Terror. She played herself in Planet Terror, or in Death Proof. She's done a lot of Quentin Tarantino stuff. So she was in the stunt double for Inglourious Basterds for both Bridget von Hammersmark and Shoshona. Let's see. She was the stunt double for Kate Blanchett in Thor Ragnarok. She was the stunt coordinator, and she played Janet in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And she's the, Janet is the character she plays, her is the wife of Kurt, oh my god, Mike's gonna murder me. I almost said Kurt Douglas, that's so dumb. Anyhow, I can't think of it right now. Wow, why am I spacing on the name right now? Like, real bad. That's weird. Mike's screaming at the top of his lungs currently that I can't think of who I'm thinking of. Kurt Russell? Kurt Russell. Yeah, Kurt Russell. Jesus. But yeah, so she plays Janet opposite Kurt Russell in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. But she's been a lot of things, a lot of stunt work. Like, I would say 80% of her work. Actually, no, she's done a lot of front of picture stuff, too. But anyways, yeah. So, Zoe Bell. Uma Thurman's stunt double in the Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2. But boom, so that's everybody who's in the movie. There's a lot more, there's a lot of extras, but there's only real, there's only like literally, what is that, five, six actual speaking parts. So Tom Cruise, Olga, Morgan Freeman, Andrea, Nicola, and Melissa. Melissa. Because those six. Zoe Bell, I don't think I heard her say a single word. She might have yelled some, but, you know, whatever. So let me give you the premise real quick of Oblivion. It's very simple. Basically, the year is 2077. Earth has been devastated by war with extraterrestrials that caused humanity to relocate itself to Titan. The movie itself follows Tom Cruise's character, Jack Harper, who is a technician who is sent back to Earth to service drones used to fight against remaining extraterrestrials known as scavengers. And he's there to monitor and secure, or well, he's there to monitor and fix the drones that are protecting the water, these big old floating barges that are sucking up the Earth's oceans and converting into fuel that they will use on Titan when they get there. Titan, the moon of Saturn, one of the moons of Saturn, on the Saturn's moon, Titan. I'm going to spoil everything for you, so you can just rest assured that if you haven't seen it. It's been 6 years. Boo! If you haven't watched, you should watch it. It's a real fun movie. And the graphics are fantastic in this movie. Jack Harper. Oh, excuse me. Also known as Tech 49 or Tech 49. It's the movie takes place 60 years after the war has ended, that the hydro rigs, as they're called, it are nearing their end of their time, and they're really not. If you look at it, they have a lot of time ahead of them, but anyways, he is coming to the end of his term on Earth. He's about 2 weeks left. And he keeps having visions of this dark-haired woman that he feels that he knows but doesn't know who she is. And it's flashes in his dreams of him and her at the Empire State Building in New York. He wakes up, has to go out on a recon to fix a downed drone, number 166, as well as try to find another missing drone, which is 173, I believe. Doesn't matter the numbers. It kind of does, but it doesn't really. When he's doing this, you get glimpses of the aliens, the scavengers, as they're called. He gets tricked into going to what he thinks is the downed non-located drone that he's trying to find, which is 173, if I'm not mistaken. It might be 172. And it ends up being a trap set by the scavengers, and he fights his way out. 166 actually shows up and saves him while just murdering these aliens. And the guns they have on the drones, as well as on his little bubble ship, as they call it. It's an interesting way of getting around human violence, which would make a movie rated R with the much human on-screen death that there is. And I've talked this up before on this podcast as well as the main podcast. The rating system can be fooled in a couple different ways. Obviously, bad language, if there's too much of it, certain words, you can't not get a rated R. You get one F-bomb allowed in a PG-13 movie, but then you get you can get semi-nude, so butts, side boob, no dong, no vagina, things like that. Violence, on the other hand, is a thing that you can skirt around pretty easily. If you don't show excessive violence where there's human blood or human dismemberment, you're pretty much good to go with PG-13 nowadays. So even 6 years ago, if you showed a human being shot to pieces, even if there was an excess of blood, just a bunch of like shots into a human body, you could easily get a rated R. So, in this movie, many people have on-screen deaths. The way they get around having it not being rated R is instead of being people being riddled with bullets, their bodies are just turned into dust. They just poof into dust that flies all around the place. It's kind of like they were disintegrated in a way. So it's a really cool thing. So when organics get hit by these rounds, these special rounds, and they don't go into the movie, it's just a visual thing. They just burst into into dust, essentially. If you've ever seen another Tom Cruise movie, the Steven Spielberg remake of War of the Worlds, when the aliens shoot their little beam down, it hits people, their clothes fall, and there's dust. That's exactly the same aesthetic they use in this. People get just run through by these crazy electric guns, and it's just poof, poof into dust. It's pretty cool. So on his second outing, I believe, he sees a downed, actually on the second outing, yeah, he goes to his hideaway, which is this cabin he found by this river in this secluded valley that seems to be untouched by anybody. And while he's there, kind of getting away from everything, relaxing, listening to records and shooting hoops, a drop ship, like a capsule, comes shooting down. And he sees it, goes back in radio communication with his better half, Vika, who is the person who kind of oversees what he's doing. And he goes to search there, and he finds these sleep pods that have people in them. And he sees there's a couple of them. He opens one that has nobody in it. He goes to another one, has someone in it. He's going around, and he sees one inside the wreckage hull, which is on fire. He wants to get it out. So he goes in there, and he looks in, and it's the dark-haired woman from his visions. Crazy. So he's going to pull that out, but then a drone shows up and starts killing the survivors in the other sleep pods. So then he stops the drone from killing her by saying, hey, back off. He's cleared from the drone, so you won't shoot through him. And then something attacks the drone. It flies away. And then he's accosted by somebody. And it happens to be, you know, it's not good, basically. Or the drone. So then he gets the sleep pod. I'm sorry, I skipped that. He gets the sleep pod out of there. He brings it back. Vika is like very apprehensive about bringing the person in. They wake her up. They tell her what's going on. There's this little thing between this new person, Julia, and Jack. And of course, Jack has not told Vika about his visions of this brown-haired lady. So early mornings the next day, Julia says, I need to go back and see if the flight recorder is intact. So before telling Vika, they leave early morning the hours. They go down there. They find it. That's when they get accosted by somebody. He gets knocked out. He wakes up tied to a chair, surrounded by these things that seem to be, you know, watching him. It ends up being human survivors that are living in underground bunkers. And they tell him about this plan that they are to blow up the Tet, as it's called, which is the ship that is the Oversea, which is supposed to be where all the humans are before they move on to Titan. And they tell him, hey, we've been lied to. We were attacked. Your memory's been erased. You aren't who you think you are. There's actually many clones of you. And he sees one of those on his adventures out. And so he eventually goes to try to get Vika to go with them, because he's he's in a relationship with Vika. He's meant to think that he's in love with her, but then he's having memories of his wife, shocker, Julia, the brown-haired girl, woman, and they then have to, she's like, no, I can't. She calls it in and says, I've lost, the tech has become unstable. I need to report it to the Tet, who they think is a woman named Sally who works on the Tet, but it ends up being that Sally is actually an AI trying to control or controlling them, making them believe that she's this Sally lady who is actually from their past, who is a NASA dispatcher who they were talking to when they were captured by the aliens and then cloned. Craziness. So Vika gets killed by a drone being controlled by the Tet, and Jack escapes with the help of Julia, who shoots the drone. They go back. They want to essentially go back and say, hey, like, we're here to, we're going to help you guys with your plan. They run into, they get there. They're setting the plan in motion. They're going to have the drone send up to the Tet and then bomb go off, destroying the Tet, freeing them from enslaving in the by this alien race. Which, by the way, I think is, they don't specify, but I believe the alien race, the scavengers, are robots. Because Morgan Freeman's character, Malcolm Beach, essentially mentions, he says, have you ever actually seen scavengers? And he's like, no, what? And it makes you think that the scavengers aren't really organisms and beings. They don't really go into it. But that was my recollection of the whole thing. So they make a plan. Some drones show up there. They attack, start murdering motherfuckers. They destroy the drone that was originally going to fly up and deliver the bomb. And so they have to make another plan. And the plan is this. Tom Cruise's character, Jack Harper, and Julia are going to, he's going to put Julia back in her sleep pod. He's going to fly his bubble ship up there. He's going to submit to them for a memory wipe and be the perfect pair to be back on Earth to trick the AI. AI says, okay, come on in. You can tell it's very not really totally believing Jack. And surprise, surprise, when he opens the sleep pod, it's actually Morgan Freeman's character, Malcolm Beach, who was mortally wounded but wanted to see the AI when they set the bomb off, and then boom, the bomb blows up, destroying the Tet and the AI. Well, you think, I mean, I guess that's what happens, because the whole thing is fucking... then the survivors, the human survivors, scavengers, see it kind of a la the Death Star blowing up. You see it in the sky. And then it jumps to 3 years in the future, where Julia had awoken at the cabin that at one point Jack had brought her to. I'd say skipped over, but doesn't matter. And you find out that 3 years have passed, and Jack has been looking for her. You get to see from her perspective, her living in the cabin with her and his daughter. Which is crazy. I think she gave birth all on her own at that cabin, because yikes. Anyhow, Julia and the daughter are farming when the daughter says, look, and the survivors, Nicola, Zoe, and a bunch of other ones, they see a little boy waving. They look over, and the scavengers come out of the woods. And the narration by Tom Cruise is still going, and then you realize that the clone that they ran into, number Tech 52, shows up, and he's also been having recollections of Julia. And so then they get your happy ending. The other Jack that you've seen shows up there to meet up with Julia and their daughter. So, boom, there you go. There's a lot of other stuff that happens in it. Well, not a lot of stuff. There's some other stuff that happens in it, but it's a really fun movie. like I said, the visuals are stunning. What they did with the world is phenomenal. Yeah, that's basically it. Boom. That's everything for Oblivion for this week. Tune in next week for the last week of October when I talk about the last one, which I can't think of right now. Hold on. I'll tell you right now what it is. Booyah, booyah. It is Snowpiercer. Boo, Snowpiercer. Boom, so tune in next week. Same podcast time. It doesn't matter what time it is. It's all pre-recorded. But anyways, so next week on The Awesome Cody, we'll talk about Snowpiercer. This week we're talking about Oblivion. And as usual, when I wrap this whole thing up, I always say, let's be awesome.